First Corinthians chapter 2. When y'all have it, say amen.
Amen.
If you need more time, say wait for me. All right. I didn't hear any wait for me's. So we're going to go ahead and get going with tonight's message. It should be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to pick up our reading with verse number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, beginning with verse number 6. Per usual, I am reading from the New American Standard Bible. You follow along in your copy of God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. My Bible reads this way. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the human heart, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among people knows the thoughts of a person except the spirit of the person that is in him? So also the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who was from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Verse 13. We also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. But the one who is spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is discerned by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Church, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I certainly appreciate it. I have read you 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 6 through 16, and the vast majority of that I just simply read for your context, so you can have an idea of where the passage is going, so you all can hold me accountable, so you can ask questions. But I'm actually only concerned with two verses tonight. I'm going to try to say a lot using an economy of words. So I'm only going to focus on two verses because I believe that two verses can help us capture what the Spirit is trying to communicate to us in this passage. Those two verses are verses 13 and 14. Once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, the New American Standard Bible says, we also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Like usual, like has been the case here for quite some time on Wednesday evenings, I am not preaching tonight per se, but we are having discussion. So I welcome your questions. I might get preachy because I'm a preacher. And so just chalk it up to occupational hazard. But like usual, I also like to give a title to kind of guide our thoughts and guide our discussion. So I'll do that as I usually do. So as the Holy Spirit will give us the ability tonight, I would like to facilitate a discussion entitled Divine Disclosure. Divine Disclosure. And I'll breathe another brief word of prayer. Gracious God and Father, even now, even still, Lord, we ask that you will bless the readers, hearers, and the doers of your holy and most precious word. It's this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Divine disclosure. There are some things that I simply don't understand. And I will never understand them. One of those things I will never understand, and if this is not you, I understand. I'm only talking about me. I'm not talking about anyone else. I don't understand the big deal with putting a lot of time into putting a lot of time, money, and energy into the yard. I'm not a person that likes yard work. I'm definitely not what one would call an outside person. I'm an indoors kind of guy. If I go outdoors, I'm going for a reason. I'm not generally an outdoorsman by any means. Now, I can read some books and I can do some things, and I'll go outdoors if I need to, but I need to have a very specific reason. And one thing you will never, ever, ever, ever catch me doing is hanging out in the yard. Now, I go by some places, I go by some places, and my wife might comment, oh, they got a nice yard. It don't make me any difference at all. I mean, to me, grass is for two things. Cutting, and I'm not into smoking grass, but we know people smoke grass. And so I guess if that's your thing, then that's your thing. But to me, that's all that grass is good for. And some people, their yards, they're so immaculate. I mean, I can look at it, and I can appreciate when someone, I could definitely look at someone's yard and say, you put a lot of time, money, and energy in this yard. But I will never understand why people literally put their money into the ground. That's about as literal as it can get. You are spending money on the ground. The only money I plan on spending on the ground is when I buy my plots for when I'm getting ready to lay in them. And prayerfully, that won't be for quite some time. And there is nothing that anybody, like I say, if you're different than me, great. God bless you. You might even try to come up to me at the church and try to explain to me, well, you know, you should really think about putting time into your yard. You can talk to me all night long, all day tomorrow. I'm never going to understand why you put time, money, and energy into the ground. I say all that to say this. When it comes to the things of God, people are just the same way. Mm-hmm. When we look at this passage of scripture today, the Apostle Paul, he is making a distinction between two types of people. He is labeled one as a spiritual person, and he's labeled the other as a natural person. Now, what preceded this conversation, what preceded this discussion or this writing of the Apostle Paul is that the Corinthians, they have these factions and they have backed certain mere ministry leaders, just ordinary people. Some said that they are for Paul. Some said that they are for Apollos. Some said that they are for Cephas. And then you got the super pious ones. Well, I'm for Christ. And Paul was saying, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Because even the ones who said that they're for Christ, they was looking at it like, More like philosophy instead of God-given truth. And Paul even makes the case. He says, I'm glad I ain't baptized none of y'all. And then it's almost like he remember, oh, well, I guess I did baptize a couple of y'all. I guess he got to look around like, well, except them. But, you know, I'm glad I ain't baptized the rest of y'all. Paul makes it clear, I'm not the one who died and rose on your behalf. And don't get caught up. He is trying to warn them about not getting caught up about putting all their backing behind mere ministry leaders, mere human beings who can fail just like the rest of us. Amen. That's why I tell you quick, don't look at me as your example. I'm going to point you to Christ. Because if you get to looking at me, I will disappoint you. Amen. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but it's coming. And perhaps it's already came. I've already disappointed you. A time or two or three. Mm-hmm. I'm going to point you to Christ because he's the one who won't disappoint you. Amen. So Paul is making this distinction as he's coming out this conversation about not backing human leaders. You need to be dedicated to your Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus. And then he goes on to explain to them that some things cannot be understood unless they are divinely disclosed. In other words, spiritual illumination can only happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul is trying to get across here. In the preceding verses, so we read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. Paul is making the case about these spiritual things. He goes to the point where he even quotes the Old Testament where he says, I has not seen nor ear heard nor has come into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. You know, now he's not talking about heaven per se. I guess heaven would be included. But what he's talking about is spiritual things in general. When it comes to the things of God, a person cannot understand the things of God if the Spirit does not give them illumination. And so if you miss it, you probably would have definitely seen it, and you may have already seen it. But this is one of those what I call Trinitarian passages. It's talking about God's truth, God the Father's truth. It's talking about the person and work of the Lord Jesus, what he has done for us. And of course, we know that the Lord Jesus gave us the Spirit. And part of the Spirit's ministry is to communicate truth to God's people. You can even go back to the Gospels. We won't turn there, but you can believe me that you can go back to the Gospels and you can see that in the book of John, that Jesus said that he will send the Spirit and he will guide you into all truth. Speaking directly to the apostles, because it would be those 11 men that would go and take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the rest of the world. And so Paul, as an apostle born untimely, as he labels himself, he would get that revelation as well during his Damascus Road experience. So he's communicating here that God the Father has blessed the people of God with the Lord Jesus to redeem them and to save them from the enemy, and that the Spirit of God will guide them into further truth about what God did for them, specifically through the person and work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. That's what Paul is getting at. But what he is saying is that if you're a spiritual person, then you get spiritual things. If you're a natural person, you can talk to them till they blue in the face. Or till you blue in the face. And they still won't understand it. And that's why Paul says elsewhere here in this same epistle that one waters, one plants, another waters, but it's God who gives the increase. And God gives the increase when he is good and ready on his own timing. Now, with that, let's go ahead and take a look at verse number 13. Any questions so far? Because I feel myself getting preachy. All right, no questions. Verse 13. Verse 13 says, we also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Here's what Paul is getting at. Spiritual lessons are taught to spiritual people using spiritual words. If you were to read this letter, Paul tells them that he doesn't come to them with persuasive speech, with fancy speech, but rather he comes in the demonstration of the power of the Spirit. In other words, Paul is saying, I don't want you to believe what I'm saying because I'm some fancy orator, because I'm the most elegant speaker in the world. No, I just want you to hear the words because there's power in the words themselves. Paul says it don't really matter what I say, because if you're a spiritual person, you're going to pick up on it. I could stumble and bumble all over the place. Now, don't get me wrong. Let's bring this to our day. Don't get me wrong. That doesn't, as your pastor, that doesn't relieve me of responsibility. I still have a responsibility to study. I still have a responsibility to prepare. I still have a responsibility to plan. If I need to shift my schedule here or shift my schedule there, I've been given a ministry. The Lord expects me to carry out that ministry. And whatever I need to do, I need to do that to make sure I can make it happen. And I should work on being a more elegant speaker. I have to slow down and speak deliberately because I can get excited about these things. And I'm already not the most elegant speaker. Don't let me get excited. Ain't nobody going to understand what I'm saying up in here. But what Paul wants to communicate to the Corinthians, and what I'm trying to communicate to you, is that let's say that I were. Let's say we all know that Barack Obama speak good. I mean, when he ran for president, they're like, where they got this brother from? Because, he spoke really well. So let's say that I had a Barack Obama type delivery. And I never stutter or anything, always just, nice, trimmed and tailored. I could have all that going for me. I could have all the fancy words. I could have all the degrees in the world. I could have all these types of methods and techniques about how to persuade people. At the end of the day, if the Spirit of God does not give that person illumination, it's not going to happen. Why? Because spiritual lessons are taught to spiritual people using spiritual words. And spiritual words don't mean fancy. It just means the truth of God's word. The spiritual words are those that's contained in the scriptures. This is why I never understand you'll get the reference, but sometimes I hear preachers say, well, I don't know what to preach. I ain't got nothing to preach. What? You ain't got nothing to preach. What you mean? You must ain't got nothing you want to preach. You got plenty to preach. And I don't care if you live to be 150 years old. You ain't going to be able to preach all of this. You ain't going to be able to preach a quarter of it. At least not giving it the due diligence that it needs. So it blows me away when preachers say, well, I ain't got nothing to preach. No, you ain't got nothing you want to preach. You got something to preach. By the way, that's part of the reason why I generally preach in series, which is either whole books or extended passages of scripture. Because I'm not going to hop on my hobby horse. Because just like anybody else, I'm prone to sin. And if I did that, then I can just, you know, just preach the things that I think everybody else in here struggle with. Preach the things that I think everybody else struggle with. And then when I get to one of my struggles, oh, well, we'll just move on from that. Turn the page. All right. I ain't got no problems with that. So, and then preach that. Mm-mm. My job is to give you the entire counsel of God. And so I like to preach through it. I'm not saying anything. Ain't nothing wrong with preachers not preaching in series. But I'm generally one that I like to spend time in extended passages of scripture. That way I'm not going to duck and dodge the text. If the Spirit's knocking on my door, then he's knocking on my door. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because I'm a spiritual person. Prayerfully, I'll be convicted by what the Spirit says. If I know he's knocking on my door and I know I struggle with that, well, Lord, forgive me. I'm already forgiven because Jesus died on the cross for my sins and for yours and the sins of the whole world once for all time. That's how efficacious the Lord's sacrifice was. He only needed to do it once because he's perfect. Because he's the divine, because he's God the Son and the Son of God. Mm-hmm. And he's the Son of Man, by the way. He's the one who's coming on the clouds. He's the Almighty. So when he sacrificed himself, he only needed to do it once. He didn't need to do it a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. And his sin, Lord forgive me. And him becoming sin, him who knew no sin was made to be sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, if I could die on the cross for you, not only will it not take care of the sins of the world, it won't take care of no sins. Mm-hmm. I mean, not even one. I'd just be dead, and that'd just be that. Mm-hmm. But praise God, hallelujah, God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. So, Lord, somehow I can turn my page. Let me get back to it. So, summing up verse 13, I'll just say what I've already said. Spiritual lessons are taught to spiritual people using spiritual words. Mm-hmm. This is what we call, or this is what I'm titling, divine disclosure. I got that phrase from, I want to give credit where credit's due, a scholar named Mark Taylor is his name. He used that, and I was like, I think I'm going to go with that. I think that's exactly what it is. But this is just a way to say that we become spiritually illuminated when the Spirit works on us. When the Spirit lets us know, when the Spirit wants us to understand, we'll understand. And without the Spirit wanting us to understand, then we won't understand.
Pastor, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
There are times that I've been in situations and I prayed and it just didn't connect. But, you know, then I pray again. A constant prayer, and then what you call this a spirit connection, when it was just like I would hear something, just the Spirit just telling me, directing me to the situation that I was praying. Would that be a spiritual connection?
Well, maybe. I would use different language because we have a Spirit on the inside of us. Mm-hmm. So we're all connected to the Spirit in that regard. I tell you what, how about this? We read up to, let me see if I can get to what you're getting at. We read up to verse 16 there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which was the last verse. But let's look at chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, and our brothers and sisters could not speak to you as spiritual people, but only as fleshly, as to infants. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to consume it. But even now, you are not yet able. Mm-hmm. This is really quite telling, because this is Paul writing to believers. He's not writing to non-believers. And so what the text suggests is that one can have the Spirit of God But just like anything else, just like we come into this world as babies, as infants, and then make our way, you know, into, you know, become a toddler, into adolescence, teenager, and then young adult, and then, you know, move into adulthood and progress through adulthood. The same is true about our spiritual growth as well, our spiritual progression. And so while all of us might be saved, we are all at, you know, different places in our walk with the Lord. And some of us, to use your language, are more connected with the Spirit than others. So some of us might be more sensitive to what the Spirit is saying to the churches and what the Spirit is saying to us. But you can still be saved and still disagree with God. I say this all the time. I ain't said in a while, but it bears saying today. It's one thing to believe in God. It's another thing to believe what God believed. It's one thing to believe in God. It's another thing to believe what God believed. Because I could give someone guidance out the scriptures right now. And, you know, let's presuming that I got it right. You know, because we know people get stuff in the Bible wrong. But presuming that I got it right, and I've given anyone in here spiritual guidance because they don't like what it said, they ain't gonna do that. So, and they're Christians. When you talk about non-believers, you talk about Christians. Because they need to be built up in their most holy faith. And so they'll go do what it is that they want to do. And for a while, it seemed like it's working out. And then when it ain't working out, God has a way of bringing it right back to him when you got godly counsel and didn't follow it. So it might seem, I guess what I'm getting at is, well, it might seem like some of us are more spiritually connected than others. But all believers have the Spirit. We all receive the Spirit, because if we didn't receive the Spirit, then we don't belong to Christ. Period. And that Romans 8 makes that super clear that we have to have the Spirit to belong to God. Matter of fact, that's reiterated right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Matter of fact, to give verse 12 some pop, I'm going to read verse 11. For who among people knows the thoughts of a person except the spirit of the person that is in him? So also the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. What Paul is getting at there, and I'm going the long way about answering your question, but I'm hoping that I capture it, because I'm trying to anticipate other questions that might come. What Paul is getting at is that don't no one know your thoughts like you know your thoughts. Don't no one know your thoughts like you know your thoughts. And as I look around this room, many of you have been married, are still married. And maybe besides, you know, next to you, maybe your spouse knows more about you than anybody else. Or maybe it's your children. Or maybe it's your mama. Or maybe it's your dad. Or your best friend. Or whoever. But don't nobody know your thoughts like you know your thoughts. Paul says the same thing is true about God. Don't nobody know the thoughts of God like the Spirit of God. But then he says, you don't have the spirit of the world. You have the Spirit of God. The point that he's getting at, that you can know the things of God. Not only can you know the things of God, but they've been freely given to you. That's exactly what he says there. So that you may know the things freely given to us by God. Talk about these spiritual truths. But because some of us won't spend time with the Lord, we don't spend time in the Word, we don't spend time meditating, we don't spend time, you know, we're just so busy doing everything else and worried about everything else. So some of us are not as, quote unquote, spiritually connected as others, even though they're saved just like me and you. I hope I answered your question. I know I went a super long way around.
My paternal grandmother, I asked her that once. We were praying, and Mama Dora told me, I was telling her, well, why didn't, and she said, well, baby, you hadn't got there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as I thought about it, as I grew older, I know she meant spiritual. I hadn't got to that. She said, you hadn't got to that point yet. You just keep on, you'll get there now.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell my mom, I said, I don't know why Mama Dora is so vague with me. I ain't got that yet. I love this and this. And my mom would say, she's telling you the truth. You have not got that.
She was telling you the truth. She absolutely was telling you the truth. Mm-hmm. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, or hearing by the word of God, as the King James and New King James Version says. And that's Romans 10 and 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or hearing by the word of Christ, or the word about Christ. And once again, Paul's talk about believers. And the implication, if you ask me, is that believers, we need to continue. If we're going to grow in our faith, we have to continue to hear the same things over and over and over again. And as we get more sound and more sound and more sound on certain portions, God will start to reveal other portions of his truth to us. But it takes place over time. And we know that some people take that more seriously than others do.
Amen.
Mama Doris was, see, this is what I love about, I love everybody, but this is what I love about the black church. We might not always been the most as far as comparatively speaking to everybody else, particularly our white counterparts, might not have as many degrees, might not have, but we sure got a whole lot of truth. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Mama Doris had, but she would tell you the truth. You just wasn't there yet, baby. That's what she said. That's the truth. Because God works over us progressively. He could do it just like that. And one day he is going to change us just like that. But that day's not here yet.
Yes.
So until then, we pick it up bit by bit, piece by piece. And the more we get this down, God will open the door. And it'd be like, Lord, I'm just not realizing that. It's been there the whole time.
Amen.
Sometimes I look in the Bible, I see stuff, I'm like, and then I remember the Bible been around long before me, gonna be around long after me. So that means it's been there the whole time. It just now came to me.
Mm-hmm.
Illumination or divine disclosure. That's exactly what that is. So Mama Doris is right about that. Just wasn't there yet. And those, and prayerfully, those events, those types of things that happen to us our whole lives, that we'll get more wisdom over, over time,
yes,
if you will.
Right.
Over time, if you will. Moving on to verse 14. All right, making good time. 6:11, so make it good time. Verse 14 says, but a natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness, to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. I label myself as in professional ministry. I don't really like the term, but it does communicate what I mean by professional ministry, meaning I study the Word of God. I go to school for the Word of God. I pastor a church, so I go to school and I do exactly what I want to do and going to continue to do. I'm not getting a degree to go somewhere else. I'm getting a degree to enhance what I do right here for the glory of God. I'm in what you call, quote unquote, professional ministry. Again, don't like the term, but that's what it is. One might think because I'm in professional ministry, that I might have more ability to convince someone the truth about God's word. That's just not the case. This is why all of us are in, quote unquote, professional ministry. You might not be a, quote unquote, pastor of a church. You may not preach from a pulpit per se, But if you are a Christian, you are in ministry. And I could tell someone something and they won't get it. And I might have a nice outline put together with points and sub points and third levels. And I just go point by point from point to sub point to sub point or third level. This clear presentation. Go over the head. You say something to them, and if God gave them illumination right at that time, you got them in that sense. It's the Spirit that did the work. But the Spirit used you to do something that I wasn't able to do in some respects. Because I don't want to overstate that. Because again, one person plants and another person waters. So either I'm planting a seed or I'm watering a seed that's already been planted. Now, because we live in this country, with all this technology and all these blessings, quite likely, anybody I run into, I'm really just watering the seed that's already been planted. Amen. It's likely they've heard something about God. Maybe nothing good. Maybe wasn't presented well. But they likely, if they're of a certain age, they've likely heard something about God. They've likely heard something about Jesus. They might not have gave it two thoughts, but they've likely heard something. But regardless, even if they haven't, a person waters, one plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. And that's because God's wisdom cannot be understood unless God makes them able to understand it. The spiritual person, God has did that for. We are blessed. Praise God. Hallelujah. The natural person, may the Lord give them the same illumination that we have, the same divine disclosure that we have. We know the truths of God. We know this is God's word. We know that Jesus lived. We know that he died on the cross for our sins. We know he was buried. Prayerfully, we know he was raised on the third day. And we ain't talking about some spiritual, immaterial resurrection. No, we're talking about a literal, physical, bodily resurrection. Just as real as I'm standing here, the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. And I say, hopefully you believe that, because not every Christian believes that. People that we hold in very, people, particularly in the black church, people we hold in very high regard, don't believe that. And I will give them credit for what they did there, but I wouldn't be surprised if you get to looking for them in the kingdom and they ain't there. I won't say no names, but there are some in the black church, some who have been black church, some of them preachers of well-known churches in, I don't know, this state. Up the road in Montgomery somewhere. May have a similar pastor in that church right now, but another person pastor that church, and that's who really is known. I don't know, it might be called Dexter Avenue or something like that. That rings a bell. There's someone there who pastor. His name is right there on the tip of my tongue. Didn't believe in the literal physical bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And unless they came around before their untimely death at 39. Praise God for what he did. If you ain't picked up by now, I'm talking about Martin Luther King Jr. Praise God for what he did as a civil rights leader. The Bible says give credit where credit's due. We got to give him credit for that. It was needed, but Dr. King and I believe very different things about the person of Jesus, about God specifically, but definitely about the person and work of Jesus. I praise in the kingdom. I won't be surprised if not. Martin Luther King wouldn't even been 100 years old yet. His writings are very, very accessible. And even later, he only lived to be 39 years old. Lord help us.
But his writings make it clear. He didn't believe what I believe. Not even close. He even said so much that he became, I'm paraphrasing, but he became a preacher because his daddy was a preacher, and he thought that the black church was a good way to advance the agenda that he had, which was honorable. Because Lord knows it was needed.
Amen.
And he certainly had Christian principles. But I don't know if Dr. King was a Christian. I hope he was. Think he was. Certainly had Christian rhetoric. But we believe very different things. So that's why I kind of went down this rabbit hole. But that's why I make the point that I'm not talking about a spiritual, literal, I'm not talking about a spiritual, immaterial resurrection. I'm talking about literal, physical, bodily. Paul makes it clear that he appeared to over 500 witnesses. And he was walking down the road with two of them, talking to them out down the Mayor's Road, talking to them. And then when it finally dawned on them that they was talking to the risen Lord himself, he was out of their sight. Bible makes it clear, we ain't talking about no immaterial resurrection. Mm-hmm. We talk about physical, literal, bodily. Yeah. So, but I will say this. None of us get into the kingdom based on our orthodox solely, because we all looking through a glass dimly. Yeah. So don't hear me saying something I'm not. I'm not saying he in hell. That's between... That, the Lord of the whole earth, he know what's right, and he'll judge rightly. But it is to say that just because they in the church, just because they may have been the church their whole life, they might even be a preacher, they might even be a pastor, they may even preach every Sunday, that don't mean they believe what you believe. And the reason being is because they are natural people. They're natural people. I believe that we serve a supernatural God. So to me, it goes back to Deacon Jimmy's story a little bit earlier, that the story that he said was true. He had to tell us that it was true, because he knows how people are. When we hear certain things, we'll think it's not true because it's outside the realm of what normally happens. But we serve a supernatural God.
Amen.
Don't get me wrong. We know people can turn a story quick and make some foolishness up. And because they have the gift of gab and they're believable and they're funny, maybe good looking or whatever the case may be, people just gobble it right on up. So we do know that people make up stories. So much so that when Deacon Watson getting ready to tell us something, because it sounds crazy, he's got to give a disclaimer that this actually happened. Because natural people have a tough time understanding those things that aren't natural. If it's outside our box of human capability and understanding, oh, well, that didn't happen. Been here 42 years and think I got it all figured out. The devil is a lie. And if you've been here double my age, 84 years, that ain't but a blow. Across the grand scheme of time, that ain't nothing. Both us babies.
Amen. That's right.
Natural people cannot understand spiritual things. And as we kept reading, the text strongly suggests that even those who are spiritual, because we've received the Spirit of God and we are spiritual, we still have to grow in our faith. And so it's my prayer that we all will pray and continue to get divine disclosure, spiritual illumination, that God may communicate his truth to us for his glory, for his good. And Lord, if we tell the truth for our good too. So that we can all walk in our God-given purpose at whatever place we find ourselves in life at this time. As long as I'm pastor here, and prayerfully I'll be pastor here for a long time, you can take it to the bank. If nobody in this church believes what I'm preaching, I believe it. And I'm going to preach it like I believe it. Amen. And you can't tell me nothing different. And Lord knows I got a lot of things that I've done a lot of things I'm not proud of, but praise God for his grace. And one thing with all my shortcomings, if it's one thing good about me, and I think it's a few more than one, but if it's one good thing about me, when I'm convinced about something, good luck getting me off it. It ain't going to happen. And I'm convinced about the truth of God. And I'm going to preach it, and I'm going to preach it, and I'm going to preach it until I can't preach no more. And if I got to drink water, as Sister Watson said, baby, you got to do what you got to do. You think I heard you when you said that? When I said that, I was saying, you got to do what you got to do. When I was joking about my wife saying I drank too much water. You got to do what you got to do. I heard you. That's right. I'll do it if I got to slow down, if I got to preach shorter, if I got to sit down. If I y'all done bought the seat up here before with the stones and with the crutches, whatever I gotta do, I'm gonna do it. Amen. So I can preach the truth of God's word.
Amen.
Divine disclosure. God has given me some, and I'll give y'all what I got.
All right. Yes, sir.
Any questions, concerns, or comments? Amen. So, because I've said a lot, I just want to give you just a few quick bullet points. So we're talking about divine disclosure. Divine disclosure, another way you could say divine disclosure, is spiritual illumination. And the point of what we were talking about tonight is that spiritual lessons are taught to spiritual people using spiritual words. God's wisdom cannot be understood unless God makes it understood to them. Mm-hmm. Natural people cannot understand spiritual things. Mm-hmm. That is the point of tonight's message. One more thing to take away is that this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God always works using people. The Holy Spirit always works using people. But this divine disclosure or this spiritual illumination is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Questions, concerns, or comments? Amen, amen. Praise God, God's word for God's people. Mm-hmm.